Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern with another Candidates Forum coming to you from University Galleries in Uptown Normal. The general election deciding the Town of Normal's council makeup is April 4th. Unlike the city of Bloomington, where aldermen are elected from wards, Normal has at-large elections. We'll get to the candidates in just a moment. This is the fifth of six public forums based on the municipal elections in the Twin Cities, co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. Our final forum comes your way in exactly 1 week, featuring the two candidates for Bloomington Mayor, Terry Renner, and Kevin Lauer. You can hear all of our forums in their entirety at our website, wglt.org. Today, we're joined by the four candidates seeking three open seats in Normal. There are two incumbents and two challengers seeking the council. The two incumbents are Scott Preston and Kevin McCarthy, and the two challengers are Kimberly Cummings and Ron Ulmer. Thanks to each of you for being here today. Also joining us for this live broadcast is our audience at ISU's University Galleries. Thanks to everyone for attending the forum tonight. We would also like to acknowledge Farnsworth Group and Henson Disposal and Recycling for their corporate support for this event. The candidates will answer questions selected by GLT News based on some of those submitted at WGLT.org. There will also be time for opening and closing statements. Candidates will have 1 minute for an opening statement and closing statement, and the responses to the questions will also be 1 minute. The League's Mary Talon Hoffman and Lori Bergner are serving as our timekeepers for this event. We determine the order by drawing numbers with the lowest number going first and proceeding alphabetically from there. And for the closing statements, we'll start with the last candidate in line and then work backwards. We'll rotate opportunities for the first responses among all of the candidates. That brings us to our opening statements by candidate Kevin McCarthy, who drew the lowest number. And you have 60 seconds for your opening statement.
Good evening. Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. Thank you to the McLean County League of Women Voters and WGLT for hosting this and giving us a chance to share tonight. Let me just say, start out by saying I love living in Normal. It is a great place to be. Being here in this gallery is a testament to some of Normal's success. I decided to run for councilman to represent my fellow citizens to help maintain our quality of life that we've come to enjoy here in Normal. My focus has been to make Normal a place that people love to live in and grow in, a place that supports growth and development, a place really that embraces everybody that wants to be here as a contributing member of our community, and a place that looks into the future and has a plan for what's to come. As councilman, my focus has been to maintain high quality, cost-effective public services, to ensure sound financial management, to focus on growing our economy so our young folks have opportunities in the future. I'm asking for your support on April 4th for McCarthy for Council. Thank you.
Next, Scott Preston, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Good evening. Thank you, Willis, WGLT, the McLean County League of Women Voters for hosting this evening, and to all of you here in attendance tonight for being here, and as well to those who are listening over the radio. My name is Scott Preston. I'm running for my second full term on the Normal Town Council. It's been truly humbling being able to serve these past 4 years, where I've seen firsthand how collaboration, innovative thinking, and a strong, diversified economic environment have helped our community thrive. How promoting safe and healthy neighborhoods and the great quality of life that we've all come to know and love have made Normal a place that people want to be. As a small business owner, I'm focused on sticking to a budget that is fiscally responsible and encouraging young, fresh talent to come to Normal and stay in Normal. I'm Scott Preston, and I'm asking for your vote on April 4th. Thank you.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas in a Town of Normal Candidates Forum live from University Galleries in Uptown Normal. And now, time has come for the opening statement for Ron Ulmer, who's next. Ron?
Thank you. Thanks to the League of Women Voters and WGLT for sponsoring this and all the interested people, citizens who are here. I'm a veteran. I'm a former ISU student and faculty member. I've been a landlord in Normal for 38 years. I came here in 1968, and I love the place, too. I agree with most of the things they said, or all the things they said about living in Normal. It's a wonderful place, and I've stayed. But I think we can do better. I think we can lower sales and property taxes, increase expenditures on streets and other infrastructure, and give the desired public amenities that contribute to normal being an attractive community in which to live and to reside. What we need to do is change our priorities to quit bidding with Bloomington over businesses and get back to spending our money on government public goods and services. Thank you.
And Kimberly Cummings, time for your opening statement. You also have 60 seconds.
Good evening. Thank you to the League of Women Voters and WGLT for hosting tonight's candidate forum. I am, first of all, a servant of this community and have been since I moved here 5 years ago. My plan is to continue to serve each and every one of you. We are one community with many voices, and I hope to be your voice as we move forward in the town of Normal. It is time that we push forward in transparency, inclusion and diversity, multifaceted economic development, and enthusiastic engagement. We may not always see eye to eye, but I will always be an ear for you as the constituents of the town of Normal, and I will always promise you to serve you with my best ability. Thank you, and please vote for me on April 4th for your Town of Normal City Council.
All right, thank you, candidates. That brings us now to our first question, which was also the first question at a similar event 2 years ago. It's amazing how some of these issues slowly unfold, isn't it? The town still must decide whether to build a pedestrian overpass or underpass at Uptown Station. The underpass option seems to be one of the favored ones by town officials who lobbied federal elected leaders just before last year's annual One Voice trip to Washington, D.C. That option carries a higher price tag, and overpass is also an option, but still another possibility is to keep an at-grade crossing, which is likely the least expensive, but would require passengers crossing the tracks to walk nearly a full block. So what do you favor? Underpass, overpass, leaving it as is? And why? And the first question, this question goes first to Scott Preston.
Sure. Thank you, Willis. It's a good question and one that we may well be hearing about 2 years from now as well. From my perspective, hands down, the best option would be if we could have a at-grade crossing in what is currently the Gateway Plaza in between Uptown Station and the Children's Discovery Museum. One that would be wide enough to support not only Amtrak walkers, but as well as pedestrians, and open up the south side of Uptown and south of the tracks for economic development purposes. The town of Normal has worked hard at getting there, but that is something that we have gotten blocked on at every turn. So I think it's very responsible that the council and the mayor and our staff looked at putting forth a study so that we know what is feasible, what is possible, how much it costs before making the final decision as to whether we go under, over, or none of the above.
All right, thank you. Ron Ulmer, same question, underpass, overpass, or at grade crossing at Uptown Station?
I believe for now we should continue with the Linden Street crossing until we see what kind of railroad traffic develops and what the true need is for an overpass or an underpass. I have talked to the Commerce Commission. The Commerce about this, Amtrak, Union Pacific, Commerce Commission have not allowed an at-grade crossing at a new commuter or Amtrak station in 30 years. But this was not discussed when they were building this station and when they were talking about doing the Uptown Phase 2. So I think we'll continue to go around to Linden Station until we see what the traffic is and how that works. In Union Station, when you get off the train in Chicago, it's a longer walk on the platform than here.
All right, and the question goes next to Kimberly Cummings.
Thank you. I believe that the underpass is probably the best option at this time, and that's based off of some of the information that I know. As we know that the at-grade is not really a viable option due to some contractual issues, and so we need to definitely make a decision on whether an overpass or underpass. When you look at the long-term, short-term, an overpass probably seems more likely, and you're right, it may seem a little feasible. But when you look at a long-term, the long-term benefits of having the underpass will way outweigh having the overpass.
And lastly, Kevin McCarthy.
Thanks, Willis. I'm going to tend to agree with my counterpart, Mr. Preston. We're likely going to be talking about this 2 years from now. I was a big supporter of an at-grade crossing, and to clarify, we had an at-grade crossing, and they took it away from us. It's not a new at-grade crossing, and I think that's the best solution, honestly, right here in the Gateway Plaza. It's the cheapest solution, hands down, and trains will never be going fast right at that spot. I think it's the best. But if we can't have that, if we have to choose over and under, we're able to get federal or state grant applications, then I'm happy to support either one of those solutions. There is a feasibility study. You've heard that was going on. That's going to give us all the information that we need to know to make a good decision. But without that, federal state funding, I don't think that those are feasible at the time.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas in a Town of Normal Candidates Forum live from ISU's University Galleries in Uptown Normal. I'm Willis Kern. Time now for the second question. It's clear most of the candidates running for alderman in Bloomington favor the city's dissolution of the Metrozone agreement, saying they must first look out for Bloomington taxpayers who currently help pay more than $1 million annually to Normal through this deal. Now, not all of them believe that, but most of them do. Assuming you feel the city acted improperly in the dissolution, state the case for your Bloomington counterparts that Metrozone remains something the city should support. And we'll begin this time with Ron Ulmer.
Well, I believe that the two cities sparring over this agreement is bad for economic development, bad publicity about the community when we don't look united. I would suggest that we just let it go and move on to positive economic development programs and projects. And it would be great if Bloomington would cooperate with us on many issues. And if they do, fine. And if they don't, fine too, because we can't make them or force them to do anything that they don't want to do. And I think that the publicity really looks bad and harms both communities.
All right, next for this question, Kimberly Cummings.
I think the go forward would definitely be to rebuild on the relationship. I think through some of this dissolution, it's kind of taken a little bit to the relationship, but I think it's something that can be done. That's going to be important as we go forward, not only as one town of Normal, but also as a regional community of Bloomington Normal, being on one accord as much as we can and finding opportunities that can push both communities forward from an economic development perspective. Many places have sister cities and have learned to work out the differences and grow together as well as being independent. And I think that's something Bloomington and Normal both can do successfully.
All right, thank you. Kevin McCarthy, convince Bloomington Alderman to support Metrozone.
Well, I don't know that I was very successful in the first round at that, Willis, but I'll give it a shot. There was a Pantograph editorial on this recently, and honestly, I think the Pantograph got it right. They had a couple points. One, they said that Bloomington should rescind their vote and that we should pause the agreement and come back to the table and talk about it again. And I think that's the right approach. And they advocated for a negotiated way forward, or if termination was inevitable, an agreed upon termination solution for it. There's an election in 2 weeks. I'm hoping that cooler heads are going to prevail in 2 weeks, honestly, and that we can get back to the table and get past this. We've got a long history of partnering with the city of Bloomington. We've done a lot of really good things together. This issue is much bigger than just Normal or Bloomington, and we really need to get back to the table to work together so we can move forward as a community.
Same question for you, Scott Preston.
Absolutely. Thank you. There are a number of very good, strong, positive individual relationships between councils and mayors and staff from Bloomington and Normal. I personally feel that way about every member of the Bloomington Council, as well as Mayor Renner and others over there. The disconnect that has sometimes come up comes when you take both as institutions rather than the individuals involved. And, you know, not everything that is best for the people of Normal in every case is always best for the people of Bloomington and vice versa. We certainly respect that, and I think Bloomington does too. But being able to have the conversation, being able to be good partners even if we don't disagree, even if we don't agree on everything, and understand where each other's coming from and work for the betterment of the larger community is vital, you know, especially in light of what's going on, some of the political dysfunction that we're faced with coming out of Springfield. Being able to work together as one community to promote economic development and growth here is crucial so that we don't get passed up by places like Des Moines, Raleigh, Durham, and others, and make sure that our businesses and our families want to come to this community.
All right, thank you. We're moving on now to the next question, which is similar in that it deals with cooperation with Bloomington. During last week's Bloomington Council Forum, challenger Jamie Matthews suggested the two communities agree on a community-wide sales tax sharing plan designed to limit competition between the two municipalities on retail income. This is a concept the Bloomington Council decided against discussing when it came up last year. What do you think of a community-wide tax sharing deal? And if you support it, again, make that case to your Bloomington counterparts. And first in line for this question is Kimberly Cummings.
Thank you. As far as a tax share, I mean, it sounds good. I think I would need to know more information and have more details around it before we can get further into it. I mean, we want to do whatever is best for both communities. And if a tax share is something that's viable for both and when it's appropriate, I think that's something that we can definitely agree to. But I think in the meantime, until I have more information on that, I don't want to say yes or no, but I'm certainly open to knowing the details and having a conversation, and I think that's going to be critical going forward if we're going to do something of that nature.
All right, thank you. Kevin McCarthy, and your answer to that question.
Thank you. Without any particular details, it's hard to say yes or no. Conceptually, I like the idea of a sales tax sharing proposal, but really any creative, collaborative effort that agreed upon by both communities that serves to reduce competition between our communities, I'm willing to discuss. I think the main point is willing to discuss. And that was part of the roadblock initially. Whatever the final agreed upon plan is, as long as both communities are at the table, we like the idea. One community isn't advantaged more than the other, and it's easy to administer, doesn't create a bunch of new cost structure and a bunch of problems to administer. I'm more than happy to support those kind of discussions.
All right, and next for this question is Scott Preston.
Thank you. The root issue that this conversation came out of revolves around providing financial incentives for businesses located on one side of Division Street to entice them to move over to the other side. And that's an issue that I feel has a tremendous amount of merit in finding a solution for and having a conversation on. Now, whether it ends up being shared sales tax, whether it ends up being an agreement between Bloomington and Normal that they will not provide financial incentives for a business that is already established in one, in one municipality just to come to the other, or any number of other possible arrangements, I think having the conversation on it and being open to it can help our larger community by far, and something that I look forward to having a discussion on.
And Ron Ulmer, what about community-wide sales tax sharing? If you support it, how do you get Bloomington to go along with it?
Well, thank you. Once again, you can't force Bloomington or any other entity to do anything. So here's what I suggest. It would be great if they would, but let's just move forward and agree, or Normal decide, we're not going to incentivize any Bloomington businesses to come to our community, our side of Division Street. Take all the money that we've both been wasting, but Bloomington can do what they want with theirs. They can continue to waste it. But take our money and use it on better roads, infrastructure, parks, and quit the bidding war. It's pretty hard to have a war or a bidding war if only one person is bidding. And I think that we should just This will ensure harmony. If you have a sales tax agreement, what's not to say that it won't blow up just like the Metro Zone agreement did? Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for choosing GLT and Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern, and this is a special broadcast of a Town of Normal Council Candidate Forum co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. We're coming to you from Illinois State University's University Galleries in Uptown Normal. And we're moving on to the fourth question submitted at WGLT.org. This comes from Alan Novick, who asks about libraries. Given that both communities are considering a new public library, why has there been no discussion about an intergovernmental agreement for a library that could serve all of the people of Bloomington and Normal? Why build two libraries? And the first to answer that is Kevin McCarthy.
Well, I think that's a bit of a complicated answer, really, predicated somewhat on the last question, really. Collaboration is part of the challenge here. At the end of my last answer, I said, this is bigger than just Normal or just Bloomington. I said that we really need to get back to the table because there's really a lot to talk about, not just libraries, fire, and the like. I think it's an interesting conversation. Unfortunately, it's just not happening now. Why? I can't answer. It's difficult for us to get our Bloomington counterparts to the table at all. But I think we should. I think we should continue to try. I think it's an interesting idea. There could be cost savings. There could be a lot of leveraged opportunities if we can get them to the table to do it. And I would support it.
All right. Scott Preston?
Mm-hmm. Going back to the previous question as well, the Metro Zone, the ramifications and the implications of how that all got left were much larger than just that individual issue. Library is a great example of an opportunity that in a perfect scenario where there weren't, you know, some of the political factors, frankly, that may be working against us locally, that the conversation could be had for the two municipalities to work together. Libraries today are not what they were, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Libraries are technology filled. They're spaces that bring people together and serve a tremendous purpose in promoting quality of life in our community and in communities around the country. But making sure that we are moving forward in a way that is using the making best use of our taxpayer dollars, making smartest and most efficient use of our resources, and doing so in a way that benefits the entire community is a conversation that certainly is worth having, and the library is a great example of that.
All right, Ron Ulmer, why two libraries for Normal and for Bloomington?
Well, in this case, I do believe that we should explore library services, combining them for Bloomington and Normal, and see what reaction we get from Bloomington. However, I think in this day and age and with the mobility and all, I think combining the library systems would be great. But instead of building like two new big ones or one new big one, three or four smaller satellites around the community where people from every neighborhood would have access by walking or bicycling. They wouldn't need a car or they could take the bus. But I would see that three or four small libraries, because it's not a great depository of big volumes anymore since so much is online. So I think we should float that with Bloomington and see if we couldn't agree to build three or four libraries, smaller ones in the communities, so that all communities are served.
Thank you. Kimberly Cummings, your response?
Thank you. It's so interesting that libraries now are so different, and I started off as a teenager as a page in the library, so that's near and dear to my heart, and to see that they're becoming resource epicenters is a great thing. And when you think of the word epicenter, you do think of a large space that can be utilized for by the entire community. I say that to say this, it would be better if we could join together as both Bloomington and Normal and have one large epicenter of place where people can not only get books online or have access to technology, but groups and organizations within the community have a place to meet and gather, or just a place where other people can meet other residents. So I would be something that I would love to see. But once again, we have to rebuild the relationship, start the conversation, and definitely take a look at what options we have.
All right, very good. Thank you. Let's stay with the library for the next question, and let's assume now that Normal decides to go it alone and follows through on plans to build a new facility in the Uptown South region east of the police station. Staff is currently considering the use of the Living Building Challenge, which exceeds even the LEED standards for sustainability. A living building generates its own power, uses its own water, among other things, with the aim to save money down the road after initially spending more for the construction of this building. Should the town build the library in this manner? And this question goes first to Scott Preston.
It's something worth considering. And let me even take that a step back. You know, as we're talking about the library issue, and if Normal does move forward with a library that is spearheaded by Normal alone in the space south of the tracks, I think that library would serve as an anchor for other economic development in that space. But a big question has to come back to the cost and the investment of taxpayer dollars that our families and neighbors in Normal. And as we talk about the living building communities, you know, it's certainly something worth looking at, absolutely. But you have to weigh costs in the long run on both ends of the equation to see if that's the right way to do it and the right way to proceed or not.
All right, thank you. Ron Ulmer, your response?
I tend to agree with quite a bit of what Scott said. You should look at all the energy-saving options. Make sure you get ones that actually work. Sometimes when you're on the cutting edge, you find out certain rooms are terribly uncomfortable or something like that. So I think you would need to go out and take a look at similar buildings that have been built and are in use. I had various positions at Illinois Power, and many had to do with energy efficiency and energy savings. And I go to Ameren's Energy Savings Conference every year for commercial and industrial customers, even today. So I think we have to look at those, and then, as they said, we have to look at the costs, the upfront costs as compared to the stream of savings, and see if it makes economic sense or not.
All right, thank you. Kimberly Cummings, should the town spend more money for a highly sustainable library that might save money down the road?
So I'm not as versed on that, on some of the things, but one thing I do want to point out is self-sustainability is something that we should look at as a community as a whole, as we know that we should be concerned about our ecosystem and being able to find new ways of energy, and I'm always interested in those types of technologies. But also we do have to be concerned with the amount of spending that may cost us. So without having the dollars and cents in front of me, especially a person like myself who's highly analytical, I would want to see the dollars and cents first before making a full decision on that. But I would be interested and considered looking at the possibility of having something of living sustainability.
All right, Kevin McCarthy, what about this new library?
I think we should definitely consider the Living Building Challenge options. Some at the outset are probably not very feasible. Some of the self-contained systems, they have code problems that we'd have to resolve here locally, state of Illinois code issues. But without all of that conceptually, investing up front for a building that is going to save taxpayers' dollars in the long term is always a smart decision. As long as the building can perform and we can get some verification that there's actually a return on that investment over the years, I think we should consider any option that provides for a long-term use building that's owned by the public that is very efficient and uses wise use of our dollars.
All right, thank you. Our next question was asked of some Bloomington candidates last week, and it deals with the budget-making process. What is the most appropriate starting point, determining the revenue stream and then planning the expenditures to fit the revenue available, or budget expenses and then identify funding sources to balance that budget? And this question goes to Ron Ulmer.
Well, excuse me, I think we should look at our revenues and put that as an absolute cap, and then look at the expenditures secondly. I do not want to see more sales tax, property tax increases. I think there are opportunities for cost efficiency in some areas. Normal, I will agree, is very well run, and many of the departments are very efficient. There are some areas where there can be some improvements. Then what we do is we'll take a look at the expenditures, and I think what we need is we need some standards or rules for prioritizing expenditures. I think that we have to really consider what is essential to maintain Normal as an attractive community, as well as maintain the infrastructure.
All right, next with this question, Kimberly Cummings.
Thank you. I actually believe that it should be working simultaneously, because you have situations where you have to look at an expense and then determine how to pay for it before you make the final decision on going forward with the expense. But at the same time, you want to definitely be concerned and keep in mind constantly the revenue and making sure we have enough revenue for any additional expenses. So they have to work simultaneously. I don't think you do it justice by stating you'll go through a budget, looking at them independently, and ordering them first or second.
All right, Kevin McCarthy, what about this budgeting process?
Can you repeat that question? I'm not sure I fully heard
question. What's the most appropriate starting point when you're crafting a budget for a municipal budget? Determining the revenue stream and then planning the expenditures to fit that revenue that's available, or budgeting expenses and then identify the funding sources that go along so that it's balanced?
I'm going to agree a little bit with my counterpart, Ms. Cummings. So we've got a very efficient and effective budgeting process here in the town of Normal that considers both simultaneously, and we plan future, looking at both revenue and expenses into the future 5 years. I think you have to be able to do that, forecast where you think you're going to be, and lay plans out for what you'd like to be able to do, and then match those up and monitor them along the way. Without considering how much is going to come in and whether or not your revenue is actually matching what you forecasted it to be, you could end up in deficit spending. But if you don't plan for expenses into the future, then we don't have the development that we need and want, and we're not that great place where people want to live and businesses want to come to. So I think you have to do both.
And Scott Preston, when budgeting, what's considered first, spending or income?
Both are. The money that comes in, the revenue that we receive, is your money. It's people's money. It's families and workers and people who shop here and dine here. And I take that responsibility very seriously. And on the flip side of that, you know, serving in City Hall, it's also the people's government. And it's our responsibility to be providing excellent public services and quality of life that we've come to love and cherish here in Normal for a long time. You know, we budget 5 years out in the town of Normal. We are very proactive in our budgeting. We're very proactive in a majority of the decisions that are made in Normal, looking at the long range, looking at how best to balance creating a place where people want to be, where businesses want to be, and where they can afford to be. That's important for our families, and it's important for all of us here on council to keep in mind as we make those decisions.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern with a special GLT McLean County League of Women Voters Candidate Forum coming to you from University Galleries in Uptown Normal. With us are Town of Normal Council candidates Kimberly Cummings, Ron Ulmer, Kevin McCarthy, and you just heard from Scott Preston. The next question, the faith-based Illinois People's Action is proposing both communities, Bloomington and Normal, enact welcoming cities ordinances, which would prohibit police from using their resources to help federal immigration and customs enforcement agents in any way. The IPA says it isn't asking for local law enforcement to break any federal laws, but requesting officers refrain from asking residents about immigrant status. The IPA says an ordinance is needed and that a proclamation to do this is not enough. Do you support an ordinance? And if not, explain to the community members who feel victimized how a proclamation will help them out. And our first response for this comes from Kimberly Cummings.
Thank you. I believe that one of the things we have to look at is that the initial request as far as with immigration, has been a national mandate that is non-funded. And we have to look at whether or not we're going to utilize our resources to enforce those types of things. Normal as a whole should be a welcoming city, and an immigrant is someone who comes to this country for a better life, and many come in and have different statuses, but we should be in support of following something that will allow them the opportunity to become a citizen. And I think that's something that really doesn't right now reside in at the local level, that resides at the national level for outlining the proper protocol. And so I encourage that that our town just continue to be the welcoming city that it is for anyone. And as far as utilizing local resources, we're already stretched enough. So
you would not be for an ordinance then?
Not to continue to do anything above an extra, because we just don't have the funding. Unless the mandate is going to come with some additional funding, then we can have another conversation.
Okay. Kevin McCarthy, you're next.
So to clarify, it was about a welcoming ordinance.
Some say that a proclamation is good enough. IPA and others say that it's not, that there needs to be some enforcement in forms of an ordinance. What do you think?
So I think there's the conversation writ large, I think there's a lot of knee-jerk going on in Washington, D.C., to get it out in the open. I'm not sure that knee-jerk reaction here in Normal, Illinois is the best. We don't really even know what is coming out of Washington, what's legal and what's not legal. What I do think is that we should go beyond proclamation, certainly, that we should talk about what we actually do, how we actually treat people, how we train our police officers to interact with people. You heard in my opening remarks, I've been working to make sure that Normal is a place that embraces everybody that wants to be here as a contributing member of our community. And I'll stand by that, and I'll stand by any policies in the town of Normal that support that. I think we can do a lot with training and actions and policies and how we enact what we do here without response-oriented things to coming out of Washington, D.C. when we really don't understand what they are.
Thank you. Scott Preston, a welcoming city's ordinance or a proclamation supporting potential victims of deportation?
Sure. Something I learned long ago and have carried with me these past 4 years on council is I don't make a decision on a hypothetical or proposed ordinance until I've been able to see it and read the background and fully understand exactly what it is that we'd be talking about. And that applies here. We have long been a welcoming community. Normal is a welcoming place that embraces diversity and embraces different ideas and ways of lives and bringing people together to be constructive members of our shared community. At the same time, we're a community and we're a nation of laws and have a lot of respect for the laws and the foundation that has been placed here. And so, I'll make the decision once I see an ordinance, if it ends up coming to us, but those are the values that I'll be holding with me as I evaluate the issue, if and when it does actually come.
Thank you. Ron Ulmer?
I agree. It's difficult to comment about an ordinance that no one really understands or knows what is all going to be in it. I believe that we should be welcoming, that we should, not use any resources to go looking for anyone that whatever, just to find out their status as a resident of Bloomington Normal. I think when the police shouldn't go door to door or anything crazy like that, not obviously not. Only when they arrest someone for whatever it is, assault or drunken driving, then if they find, I expect that person either to go be arrested or go to jail. I mean, I would be arrested. I don't think I want, people that are here from all over the world to have a different set of laws and actually get better treatment than citizens.
All right. Thank you for that. We appreciate your thoughtful responses to these questions. Here's another question. The recently announced closings of Gordmans in Normal and JCPenney and Macy's in Bloomington underscore the significant challenges of retail brick-and-mortar operations in an internet world. What can the town do to encourage development, such as along the Constitution Trails Plaza and elsewhere? And how can you, as a council member, contribute to that? And our first response to this comes from Kevin McCarthy.
So certainly, this is a concerning national trend, right? It's not just a local thing. Honestly, I think we're fairly well positioned currently, and I say currently because we don't know, you know, exactly where all this is going. We don't have a large mall with a lot of tenants like Bloomington does. College Hills did something to mitigate that, and to be clear, we've only lost one, Gordmans, and I think there's a good chance that we can get that replaced. I think with a large preponderance of mom-and-pop shops here in Normal that focus on service, we're well-positioned. I think into the future, service-oriented businesses will tend to fare well, restaurants, repair shops, the like. I think that we have to be pro-business supporters of retail sales, but to be clear, the retail industry has to change in and of itself. We can only do so much as a government to try to support that. But I do think that this underscores the increasing need to provide a supportive culture for young entrepreneurs to grow that economy of the future. And I think that we can do that in our policies and our place.
Thank you for that answer. And next with the question is Scott Preston.
Thank you. Spending habits and retail and the effects it's had on retail is something that we are facing here in this community. We're facing in Normal, Bloomington, and they're facing around the country. Of vital importance here locally, I believe, and the retail is a part of the issue that leads me to this, but there are other factors as well in our local economy. Of vital importance is promoting an economic environment for growth and creating an opportunity for people who want to come here, plant their families here, provide jobs here, live and work in this community so that we can diversify and grow here locally in Normal. You know, the results of this and what this looks like and the opportunity that we have that I have yet to see fully taken advantage of is something that hits very personal and very close to home. We have outstanding educational opportunities and institutions in this community. You know, we're in a room here that is called University Galleries. We're a couple steps away from Illinois State University's campus. We're home to Heartland Community College, Wesleyan, and Lincoln. And far too often, we have young people who we come and educate here, provide skills to here, and then they take those to the betterment of communities elsewhere. This is, very quickly, this is something that I can give you countless names and faces for, and something I think is a tremendous opportunity for us moving forward.
All right, thank you for that. Ron Ulmer, what is the role of a council member in economic development?
Well, there are several roles. One of the most important is that lower sales tax and lower property taxes do more to promote economic development than picking winners and losers by the government. So we should totally get out of that business of subsidizing one new restaurant or one retailer over another. If we lower the taxes, that will help. It'll also help, but not cure, all the problems with the competition with the internet. I am a huge supporter of the mom and pop local shops, and I urge everyone else to do that. I also agree that we should use the educational resources and develop entrepreneurial centers in this community to keep the young people here. The government should foster that kind of collaboration and innovation.
All right, and Kimberly Cummings.
Thank you. I'm gonna kinda echo a little bit from some of the other panelists with stating that it is an issue nationally when it comes to a lot of the larger businesses. What we do need to focus on are the smaller businesses, which are the cornerstone of any community. We need to be able to, as council members, find opportunities or ways to continue to make sure that our smaller businesses are growing. We have some resources already available. There is through Illinois Wesleyan University. There's an opportunity for entrepreneurs to learn and grow, as well as opportunities through the McLean County Chamber of Commerce. But we can continue to do more so that our local businesses, our small businesses, can grow within this community. Those are what's going to be most important, especially as we see the shift from the large businesses and chains going more to internet sales. We also need to make sure that we continue to push from a service perspective, because retail, as we know, is going more online than the service industry. Thank you.
Thank you. And this question is somewhat related. It comes to us from Yusuf Ali, who asks, with State Farm sending people to other cities and our brick-and-mortar stores closing, what will you do to help bring jobs to our community, not just part-time jobs, but jobs that bring in people who will invest in the community? Scott Preston, you're first.
Absolutely. I think this ties into a lot of what I was getting at in my last answer. You know, we have long been a fantastic community, a vibrant local economy, but we're in a time of transition, and our local economy has been evolving and will continue to. Some of the things are specific to Bloomington Normal here. Some of them are as a result of being in the state of Illinois, and some are a result, as we talked about with retail, of national trends. Being able to promote an environment, and in a lot of cases that means getting government out of the people's way, but promoting an environment where businesses want to come here, where innovative businesses and the businesses and the companies of tomorrow in the industries of tomorrow want to be here. That's the starting point. Having a vibrant job market is step one. And step two then, of course, is promoting a great quality of life, one that we've had for a long time, and I'm certainly committed to ensuring. With those two things combined, you make this an attractive place for people, for businesses, and for families, which is good for all of us.
Ron Ulmer.
Could you repeat the question a little bit?
This has to do with State Farm sending people to other cities. Brick-and-mortar stores are closing. We've discussed that. But our listener, Yusuf Ali, wants to know how you can bring really good, solid full-time jobs and not just part-time jobs who will invest in the community, people who will invest in the community when they move here and work here.
Well, one thing we have to continue to do is have the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council and both communities work to attract those kind of high technology, futuristic businesses, entrepreneurs, as the others have said, and I said earlier in my answer. So we also have to continue to offer, as Scott just said, the amenities and the things that make Normal an attractive community, which we certainly can afford to do. Bloomington Normal's or McLean County's median income is $10,000 higher than Springfield, Champaign, or Peoria's. So we have the resources, but we cannot overtax them.
All right, and next for this question, Kimberly Cummings.
It's going to be important that we continue to make Bloomington Normal as a whole attractive in order to make sure that we can attract jobs that are not just a minimum wage but a living wage. And we're definitely going to have to take a look at partnering with education as well as some opportunities to grow the smaller businesses that can already provide some further opportunities for a living wage instead of a minimum wage. So we have some startups that are already here, but how do we allow them to grow so that they can hire more people as well? Those are the types of things that we'll have to come together as a council to look at a little bit more in depth in order to make sure that we're not only providing minimum wage jobs, but jobs that are of a living wage for our constituents.
Thank you. And Kevin McCarthy, what about real solid full-time jobs versus just part-time jobs? How can you bring them in?
So kind of summarizing some of everything and a little bit of my own, you know, we have to be a great community. Plain and simple. People have to want to be here. Companies have to want to be here. But you have to look at our assets, really, to understand how we could go about this from a government perspective and how we can encourage it from a business perspective. We have a tremendous amount of education assets here. For 2 years, I helped spearhead a STEM education partnership collaboration between our local businesses and our education systems. Essentially, we were building a partnership where we brought corporations to campuses to give young people real life experiences, connect them to our local companies. So when they were done with school, they could go to work right away here locally, and they always already had that relationship. Partnerships like that that we can support are critical, because if we can develop a talent pipeline here in our community, companies will come here for that talent, because that is the future of business, is having the right talent in our high technology world. Thank you.
Thanks for choosing GLT and Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern, and this is a live broadcast of a Normal Town Council Candidate Forum, co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters, and we're joined by the four candidates for three spots on the Normal Council. You just heard from incumbent Kevin McCarthy, along with Scott Preston, and challengers Ron Ulmer and Kimberly Cummings. You can hear our previous forums at WGLT.org. Property tax bills for residents of Normal increased slightly last fall when the council approved a hike to help pay pensions for police and firefighters. What role should pensions play when considering whether to boost public safety by adding police officers and firefighters and paramedics? And our first response for this goes to Ron Ulmer.
Would you repeat the last sentence there?
The question centers around the public safety of the community and the outstanding pension liability that's out there. How do you balance adding police and firefighters needed to do the job versus the pension you're going to have to pay out for them?
Well, what you have to do is you have to look at the overall cost of hiring an additional resource, not only the time they're employed, but the time after they're employed. And this is one of those things that the state of Illinois really needs to correct, because it's unsustainable for people like me that are retired. Social Security goes up 0.6% or zero several of the last years. It's a true COLA. And then we have our retired our public employees getting 3% increases every year. And it's just impossible to sustain that. And there really is no good way, there's no good solution until you deal with that issue that was mistakenly put in the Illinois Constitution many years ago.
Thank you. Next, Kimberly Cummings.
Can you repeat the question for me, please?
It has to do with the role of safety in the community and the need to hire police and fire officials as the community grows or expands, it needs to protect the public, versus the outstanding pension liability you're going to have to pay these people when they retire.
I believe the town of Normal is for what we have today is definitely on their way for having a fully funded pension. When you look at the outline, having the possibility of needing to hire more police and fire, that's just something we would have to take another look at that time. I do believe that the town of Normal is very fiscally responsible to the point that they would definitely consider that, as well as look at what other options we have to make sure that we're going in the right direction in order to be 100% vested as pensions. But we also have to consider the safety of our residents. And if the safety of our residents would be jeopardized by having not incurring new police or fire, I think we would make the right decision to hire those people first.
Kevin McCarthy?
A complicated answer, a complicated problem. Waving away that we don't have control over our pensions, weighing the decision between public safety and cost is something we do every day. My answer I'll frame up in what we did with our fire station studies. We did a complete study of fire station response here in town and believe it wasn't adequate. And so we weighed the cost of rebuilding and moving three fire stations against adding a fourth and adding costs. And when you look at that over the terms of 30 years, building three new and moving them would save the community about $10 million. For me, that's a a very wise decision to use taxpayer dollars in that way. But we have to look long term to answer these types of questions, because you know, a single pension, when you're talking about them, the short term doesn't seem like a lot, but over the terms of 30 years, it can cost the community quite a lot.
And Scott Preston.
Thank you. I'm glad this question came up. I want to take an opportunity to speak a little bit as well about the process in which we get to this point, beyond just what's been said so far at this table. So our police and fire pensions, in normal, we have made for a long time the conscious decision to fund those pension programs primarily out of property tax revenue that comes into the town. There are high property taxes comparatively in the state of Illinois than there are elsewhere across the country. We're battling between the first or second highest property tax rate of any state. But within that, the town of Normal's share is only about 10 or 11%. And that money, a vast majority of it, is going to the police and fire pensions. The state of Illinois legislature has mandated that municipalities like us across the state have to have a funding plan where police and fire pensions are funded by at least 90% by the year 2040. In the town of Normal, we've made it very intentional to have it 100% funded by 2040 as a means of being fiscally responsible, being forward-looking, and making sure that we're protecting those who are protecting us, the great employees of our police and fire departments here in Normal.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, and looking at the clock, we're going to make a change here in the closing statements. We're going to go with 30 seconds for the closing statements tonight as we wrap up our event. And we're going to begin our closing statements tonight with Kimberly Cummings.
It has been a pleasure to be here this evening. Once again, I want to thank the WGLT as well as the League of Women Voters for this opportunity. I certainly would ask for your support on April 4th as being your next city council person. It is most important to me to continue to serve this community and to bring the best out of it, because there is so much work to be done for so many of us to continue this great quality of life that we all are able to enjoy. And with that, I leave you with this. We are one community with many voices. Please let me be yours.
Thank you. Ron Ulmer, 30 seconds.
I think Normal is a wonderful place to live now and can be better and do better without increasing any taxes. So what we have to do is prioritize and make a few tough decisions, but I think we can actually spend more money on the basic infrastructure as well as on the amenities that the people truly desire, but we probably cannot grow those.
Thank you. Scott Preston, your closing statement, half a minute.
You bet. I appreciate WGLT and the McLean County League for hosting tonight. And to all the people of Normal, very sincerely, thank you. I've truly appreciated the opportunity to be able to serve in City Hall these past 4 years. I'm sure there are some votes and decisions that I've taken and stances that I've spoke about that maybe not everybody agrees with. But I'd hope that there are also a lot that we do. And in every instance, we always work together. We always have the larger community's benefit in mind. I've been honored to receive the endorsement and the support of the McLean County Chamber of Commerce PAC, our Bloomington Normal Trades and Labor, an A rating from Bike Bono, and most importantly, very humbly, thank you for the support of the people of Normal. And I'm Scott Preston, and I'm asking for your vote on April 4th.
You get the last word, Kevin McCarthy, 30 seconds.
The pressure. First, I want to say thank you. It's been an honor for 4 years to be a councilman in the town of Normal. If you've been around town recently, you know there's a lot going on. There's buildings being built, businesses growing, businesses coming to our community, support for our entrepreneurs growing. There's a lot of positive to talk about, and I've been fortunate and honored to play a role, albeit however small, in all of that. But you know, one of the things that differentiates Normal from every place else is when you talk to our residents, you'll find that they choose to live in Normal because it is a great place to be and we have such a high quality of life. I'm asking for your support on April 4th to help me continue to make Normal a great place to live into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin McCarthy, and thank you, candidates, for taking part in this edition of Sound Ideas and a Normal Town Council Candidate Forum, co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. You can find links to our previous forums at WGLT.org. That's also where you can find this episode of Sound Ideas, with help from broadcast technologist Travis Metters, events and outreach director Linda Healy, individual giving director Pat Peterson, assistant news director Charlie Schlenker, program director Mike McCurdy, McLean County League of Women Voters, we thank you, and ISU University Galleries Director Barry Blinderman. I'm Willis Kern. The municipal election is April 4th. Thanks to you for attending and listening and watching this evening. This is WGLT Normal, a service of Illinois State University.